is psychologically empowering.
And for people already working on climate change, taking time to process their feelings and reset when needed can help them sustain their commitment.
Oftentimes, people do one or the other. If they're activists but don't attend to their feelings, there's a high level of burnout. Or if they are working on their feelings but haven't found a place to participate, it limits their sense of agency or effectiveness.
So taking action and taking care of themselves can help people cope and stay engaged. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Welcome to Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy. Down here in the Earth Church in the East Village of New York City. And what are we doing today? We're trying to find out the difference. We're trying to determine the difference based on the evidence. The difference between actual reality and virtual reality. Now, the most actual reality we can find is what we call the Earth. And the Earth is coming towards us with just about as much actuality as we can stand, with the fire and the flood, with the wind and the waves. That the Earth is coming right at us with the sixth extinction. And we are defending ourselves from anything earthy with our trillion-dollar ad campaign here in the United States. That's how much the marketing departments spend hypnotizing the average American every year. It's about the same size budget as the Pentagon. Is that a coincidence? They both make wars. Listen to me. We need to reach out to the fire and the flood as it comes toward us, breaking through our screens, breaking through our advertisements, breaking through our strict right-wing patriotic narratives that we recite all day long. The Earth is coming towards us and exciting in us. Don't you feel it? Doesn't it make you dance? The seed, the dancing seed of actuality, is in my body. It's rising up to meet the Earth. And I'm going to journey to the Earth, go through that wall of products, reach out to that fire and flood. All the Earth cultures have told us the invitation to participate is there. Let's start by trying to find out what's the difference between actuality and virtuality. We're going to give you audio samples today of actuality and audio samples of the virtual. And we're going to go back and forth, and we're going to invite you to study the difference. Might be fun. Might be a good thing to do. I think it's an absolutely necessary, crucial thing to do. To save our lives and work with the planet to save the life around us. Somebody give me an Earth-a-luia. Earth-a-luia. Earth, Earth, Earth-a-luia. And so, you have been listening to the virtual and the actual, courtesy of our editor, Jason Candler. We have such an important moment now in our history where we have to decipher what is real and what isn't. Now, we are surrounded by extraction from the actual world. That's what we call the natural world, the actual world. And that comes not just in the form of fossil fuels and some of the more obvious things that relate to food and transportation. That also relates to our images, our psychologies, our we have furniture and clothing, and we have lots of language all around us. We have culture that simulates our idea of the actual world. And I know that now's the time to back up and look at ordinary things and say, ah, that is virtual now, but it comes from something that's actual. That kind of simplicity, that kind of breaking down of our habits, of the physical objects that we have around us, from how we work and how we make love and how we keep healthy and how we... are not so healthy, how we see the actual world changed by us in our consumerized world. That's something where our consciousness has to go there now, something we have to understand. And why is that so important? Well, it's because the actual world is coming toward us, breaking our relationship to the virtual world. This virtual reality that is consumerism, that is all these products that we live with, that is ending now as the actual world comes forward in the form of superstorms and wildfires and... Well, the things that we see are happening are in the news, but they're underreported. The emergency is not understood by our culture. We're letting ourselves waltz along in product life. And the wild storms, the fires, the diseases, the heat waves, the changing of the ocean currents and the jet streams and up in the atmosphere, all of that is still coming to us as scientific information that is kind of transmogrified into the news. That's not what's happening. It's the actual world tearing away this product life. Tearing away the screens, tearing away our assumptions, tearing away our military, our religion, tearing away, becoming essentially our government. It can't be, it's hard to exaggerate the Shapocalypse. It is, they call it the sixth extinction, and that's a misnomer. It's the sixth evolution. Yes, there's a lot of death here, a lot of violence, but it is life making more life possible, life making survival on this planet of living things possible. And this is directed by an intelligence, a consciousness. That we call the Earth, Earthaluya. The Earth will find a way for life to live. And that doesn't go with our understanding of life at all. It's a radical change in how we think and how we live. We have to help each other do this. We have to help each other go through the change. The native cultures, the Earth cultures, keep telling us that we can participate, we can be a part of, active in what the Earth is doing. Stop opposing the Earth. Well, we're opposing the Earth when we're basing our economy on growth, on fossil fuels. on toxicity. We have to stop poisoning the earth and start being open to what the earth is doing. And that's surreal. That's a shock. It's very different. It's not right-wing Christianity. It's not neoliberal capitalism. It's very different. I think, though, that we will recognize it. I think that we have the earth inside of us. We have the actual life of the earth in our bodies, in our souls, in our minds, in how we love each other. Love-a-luya. We will, I think it's possible, we will be a part of what the earth is doing. Let's help each other. We're not alone. I see a movement out there. Somebody give me an earth-a-luya.
Earth-a-luya. I'm filled with the fabulous unknown. I'm filled with the fabulous unknown. I'm walking through the dark light where no names are given. I'm walking through the dark light where no names are given. I'm walking through the dark light where no names are given. I'm filled with the fabulous unknown. I'm filled with the fabulous unknown. I feel the sun's fire deep in my body.
Ecosystem, that forest, that meadow, that ocean shore. Take a walk. Invite the earth to walk with you. The earth will be there. We are the earth. And now is the emergency, right now. Go outside. Somebody give me an earth-a-luya. The natural world makes the message absolutely clear. The earth, I know, making violence and pain, and we don't know what to call it. Call it sadness. Accept the power. Pour the 200-mile-an-hour wind and the metal-melting wildfire down on the poisoners, down on the oil companies and the fossil banks and the Mickeys and the Coca-Colas, and just keep the earth coming in. And now let's you and I, promise that we will let the earth come in. Keep feeling love, dancing, flying, spinning, gushing with the earth, pouring, feeling, fighting for the earth, fighting for the life of all of us. Oh yeah, there it is. There's the earth. The earth is ready. We are ready. We are outside. Inside. Unknown.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Researchers have discovered a hidden mechanism within hair follicles that allow us to feel touch. The findings have been published in Science Advances. Previously, touch was thought to be detected only by nerve endings present within the skin and surrounding hair follicles. Mushrooms of the genus Mycena, commonly known as bonnet mushrooms, are fungi that live off of dead trees and plants. New research from the University of Copenhagen demonstrates that bonnets can also find their ways into young, healthy trees and plants, where they try to cooperate. In doing so, they have made an evolutionary leap which challenges our understanding of the ecological roles of fungi. The favorable conditions sought after by Mycena seem to be related to human activity. It is reasonable to believe that humans have played a role in this adaptation because our monocultural plantations have provided fungi with optimal conditions for adapting. The fungi seem to have seized upon this opportunity. Wildlife on every continent are contaminated with harmful flame retardant chemicals, including some endangered species such as killer whales, northern sea otters, red pandas, and chimpanzees, according to a new map that tracks peer-reviewed studies from around the world. Flame retardants used in products like furniture, building materials, electronics, and cars to meet flammability rules can leach out and get into the environment, and eventually wildlife and people. Flame retardant exposure is linked to a host of health issues, including decreased fertility, certain cancers, endocrine disruption, impaired fetal and child development, and immune system impacts. New research also calls into question whether these flame retardants actually work to suppress fire. The Food and Drug Administration has proposed banning hair straightening products that contain or emit formaldehyde, more than a decade after the cosmetic industry's own experts declared the products unsafe. Frequent use of chemical hair straighteners has been linked to a possible increase in the risk of developing cancer of the uterus, also called endometrial cancer. Women who use the products often face more than twice the risk of those who do not. Other studies have linked hair straighteners and dyes to breast and ovarian cancer. The agency's scientists deemed formaldehyde to be a human carcinogen 7 years ago, and its lawyers started drafting a proposed ban then. Chemical hair straighteners are marketed almost exclusively to women of color. Last month, on a single night, 966 birds, mostly migrating warblers, were found dead around a glass building in Chicago, McCormick Place, the largest convention center in the U.S. They were all killed when they flew at speed into the highly reflective glass windows. According to estimates published in the journal The Condor, building collisions kill hundreds of millions of birds each year in the U.S. and reduce the total number of birds by 2 to 9%. In Chinese cities where glass buildings have also proliferated, scientists noted bird collisions are now an important global factor in bird mortality. Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana, the newly elected House Speaker, has questioned climate science, opposed clean energy, and received more campaign contributions from oil and gas companies than from any other industry last year. He has consistently voted against dozens of climate bills and amendments, opposing legislation that would require companies to disclose their risks from climate change, and bills that would reduce leaks of methane, a potent greenhouse gas, from oil and gas wells. He has also voted for measures that would cut funding to the Environmental Protection Agency. The United States has experienced $23 billion disasters resulting from extreme weather linked to climate change in 2023. The first meta-analysis of all experiments investigating trigger and content warnings has found they cause anticipatory anxiety and increase curiosity about the distressing content, also known as the Pandora effect. The research found trigger and content warnings do very little to inform our decisions to view or listen, let alone cope with what we find after encountering potentially distressing or triggering content. There is no evidence that trigger warnings help people mentally prepare themselves to cope with negative content. Typhoon Faxai took a shearwater bird on an epic journey when it swept up the bird, beginning an 11-hour journey that saw the bird complete 5 full circular loops. Tracking data revealed that the bird reached speeds of up to 55 to 105 miles per hour, soaring to an altitude of 15,400 feet. Shearwaters typically fly at about 35 to 40 feet. Over 11 hours, the bird completed 5 loops of the typhoon that was about 31 to 50 miles in diameter, traveling a total distance of 712 miles. The toll of heat-associated deaths in Arizona's most populous county, still being compiled after the area's hottest summer ever recorded, has soared over 360, alarming public health officials who say the final count will surely set a new record. Maricopa County, the hottest metropolitan area in the U.S. and home to Phoenix, reported that 361 heat-associated deaths have been confirmed this year as of October 7th. Another 238 deaths remained under investigation. This summer, Phoenix experienced the hottest 3 months since record-keeping began in 1895. Phoenix also set a record in July with a 31-day streak of highs at or above 110 degrees Fahrenheit. The Amazon River fell to its lowest level in over a century. Rapidly drying tributaries to the mighty Amazon have left boats stranded, while high water temperatures are suspected of killing more than 100 endangered river dolphins. For the first time, scientists have documented ants becoming entangled in plastic fibers. The impact and extent of the phenomenon aren't immediately clear, but it marks another milestone in the planet's deepening problem with plastic pollution. Scientists collected 113 ants from 40 different sites around La Palma, Spain. They found that 3 of these ants had become wrapped in some kind of fiber. Lab tests revealed that 2 of these fibers were made of plastic, one of which was wrapped around the ant's abdomen and another curled around an individual's legs. A new SUV purchased in 2023 will release more harmful carbon dioxide than a conventional engine car bought in 2013. The surge in popularity of SUVs is reversing the progress made in reducing carbon pollution from new cars. The wealthiest households were 81% more likely to own super heavy emitting cars compared to other income groups. The wealthiest households were 81% more likely to own super heavy emitting cars compared to other income groups. While the rich could afford electric vehicles, they were increasingly choosing high emission SUVs. Last year, sports utility vehicles accounted for nearly half of all cars sold, with particular growth in the U.S., India, and Europe. Activists are calling for an end to the advertising of the most polluting SUVs and the implementation of policies that make SUV owners financially responsible for the environmental impact of their vehicles. And now, the sounds of extinction from The Cost of War, a website that details the outcomes of war. The post-9/11 wars include Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Pakistan, Syria, and many other nations. The U.S. government is currently conducting counter-terror activities in at least 85 countries. Over 940,000 people have died in the post-9/11 wars due to direct war violence. An estimated 3.6 to 3.8 million people have died indirectly in post-9/11 war zones, bringing the total death toll to at least 4.5 to 4.7 million and counting. Over 432,000 civilians have been killed as a direct result of the fighting. Over 7,050 U.S. soldiers have died in the wars, and more than 30,000 war veterans have committed suicide. 38 million people have been displaced by the wars that followed 9/11.
I am not the only one. 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 I'm shaking, I'm moving around.
Not the only one.
I'm not the only one.
I'm not the only one.
I'm not the